I'm sitting in the Waterside Centre at Conkers, and I'm just sitting down having a coffee just before they close up. Actually, they're just doing the tills with John O'Farrell from @Ipstock_does, and he's going to tell. I think that's right. Yeah. And I'm just going to find out a little bit about John, also a little bit about why he started the Ipstock account on Twitter, and also what his whole involvement with Conkers will be. And he's just ordering tea. So, hello, John.
Hiya.
Good
to
meet you.
It's nice to be here at Conkers again. I've had a long association with this site. In fact, I remember it before it was even Conkers. I remember when it was a very muddy, waterlogged and moss-filled, broken down old transport.
Long time ago then.
Yeah, probably back to the early 90s.
Really?
Yeah. And they planted some test trees, maybe 92, 93, and they stood on a mound of pit waste for maybe 4 or 5 years and did nothing. I think they'd gone into shock because the ground here is largely clay, coal slack and brick ends.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
You'll... I don't want to put people off if they're coming to plant trees at Concachoo, but you might find some interesting subsoil. But yeah, no, some parts are better than others, actually. It's very variable, let's say that. And we've just been around some of the back lots of the site to try and find some suitable areas for tree planting. The thing about Conkers is it's quite densely packed with trees, particularly this side. Remind me, what side is this?
Waterside.
Yeah, that's right. That's Jerry. And so, yeah, it's really packed, and Jerry's been saying he's hard work cut out to actually start thinning now to make sure that the public can still get in and enjoy this part of the site. So kind of a victim of our own success there a little bit. But nevertheless, there are some back lots, and we've identified two completely vacant areas in the back events field. But Jerry has to check with the authorities to see if there's any long-term plans, because I think they may be thinking of putting some chalets or something in there. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to plant where they're going to get dug up in a few years' time. Mm-hmm. And by the canal basin, which is a wonderful wide stretch of water which people that come to Conkatoo, they'll enjoy when they come here, there's a planting that I did with some University of Derby students in about 1993. And subsequently beaten up in 1996, which has suffered a little bit from neglect. Some of the trees are great, and they're still going, but there's still quite a few gaps there. So I think overall, we have sort of 2.5 potential sites for the tree planting. Needs a little bit of prep just to clear of a bit of annual growth of weeds and a few brambles just to make sure it's safe for people when we do come to planting the trees. The trees are sat at mainly at Overseal at my mother-in-law's house. It's got a third of an acre. They're a combination of holly and hazel there, with about 10 hollies and about 20 or 25 hazels of various sizes. They range from maybe a foot high to something up to maybe 3 or 4, 4.5 foot high. And then at my house, I've got about 10 oaks in my back garden. I have an oak tree in my back garden.
That's pretty epic, actually.
Well, it's nothing compared with about 2 years ago. 3 years ago, I moved into my house, and it had about 400 oak saplings in the garden just from this one oak.
Wow.
People don't realize how prolific they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I use is I use electrical tape. I use a little smidgen of electrical tape, because what you don't realise, you need to find them in the autumn before they drop the leaves, because there's no way you'll find them in a dark morning in December when you want to plant them. So a little bit of electrical tape around each tree identifies where it is. I'm also going to have a little bit of job digging. Smaller trees are fine, but a few of the ones up at Overseal I could I do with a hand of digging a few of them out, maybe the Saturday or maybe the Friday or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe we can get that arranged
the Friday
somehow.
Before the Saturday, just so that we have everything prepped and ready to go.
Okay, so you found a site. We're talking about Conkatoo and stuff. Tell people a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with this, why you've been looking at this site for so long, in not looking at it, but you know about it for so long, and also a little bit about why you got started on Twitter as Ibstock does.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I moved up to what was the South Derbyshire coalfield in, would have been about 1990, call it, mm-hmm. and a bit counterintuitive. I moved up for personal reasons because of family connections. Not that I'm not from this area, but my partner is.
Yes.
And all the coal mining areas were closing down, the coal mines were closing, and so I found myself 3 months unemployed, and then I got a first job in youth work. But I had come from a background of sort of environmental campaigning in London, so found out about the National Forest, and it kind of came into publicity about 1992. Planted some of the first trees in the National Forest, 92, 93. They're now huge trees, as tall as this restaurant in Conkers, which is amazing because there are really little widdly trees mm-hmm. when we've put them in. So followed the National Forest and its growth throughout. Went to University of Derby as a mature student, studied tourism and geography. Currently work for the local authority of Leicestershire. And I guess at the same time as I went to university, I got interested in computers because you kind of need to use computers to help you do your university work. So did a few local courses at Moira Replan. Did you know Moira has its own tally cottage?
No.
Well, there didn't you go. Know. Yeah, it's in the site of the old hospital.
This is it, you see. This is one of the major problems for me that I'm struggling to deal with and just starting to get my head around, is that when you're in a rural location, you're not just in a rural location surrounded by countryside, people are not talking to each other. They don't even know that each other exists.
Yeah.
You know, like I went over to the Moira Furnace and the YHA and the Caravan Park and tried internet at various places. That's just on that technical level, on the internet level. And so there's a lot of work to be done around here, not just on the environmental side, but also reconnecting people around here.
Well, I did, as I say, I did my introduction to computers at Moira Replan, as it was then, Tally Cottage. And they gave me an introduction to computing, and it was fantastic. And the rest is history, as I say. I mean, I've only recently come across Twitter, I guess, in the last year or so. I don't know, I looked at my account the other day, something stupid like 750 tweets.
Has it been any value to you? I mean, obviously you've had value out of it, but where do you see it heading in the future? Do you find that you're probably just tapping into a certain percentage right now? Or?
Well, you see, you meet a different kind of audience through Twitter. We're a village-based campaign, but the problem is we found that it's with limited number of volunteers, our reach has been hard to reach out to local people. I work full-time. A few other people in the group have caring responsibilities. I mean, we care about the environment, but we have real lives mm-hmm. as well. We're not just sort of free and easy eco-swampies. Mm-hmm. So basically, Twitter's really handy because you can log on quickly. You can fire out a few little bits of information. You can learn things from other people. You can retweet that. I've learned that now. And you can make some really good connections with people who are doing the same sort of thing as you up and down the country. So I find that very good, and I want to learn more, and I want to use it more as a tool to do some smart campaigning.
Awesome. Well,
it's good to connect to national and international campaigns because those sort of organisations are on there as well.
Well, we look forward to having you on the 28th, and thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Cool.